Chapter 42. The Ocean Venturer lay anchored over the wreck of the Empress of Ireland. A light rain had passed in the early morning hours, and the Venturer's white hull glistened orange under the new sun. In contrast, a tired old fishing boat, its faded blue paint scarred and chipped, lazily trolled its nets 200 yards away. To the fishermen, the Ocean Venturer, silhouetted against the brightening horizon, looked as if it had been created by an artist with a warped sense of humor. Its hull lines were aesthetic and contemporary. Beginning with its gracefully rounded bow, the main deck line traveled in an eye-pleasing curve to an oval fantail. There were none of the sharp edges associated with most other ships. Even the egg-shaped bridge rested on an arched spire. But there the beauty ended. Like a Cyrano's repulsive nose, a derrick similar to those erected in new oil fields protruded incongruously from the Ocean Venturer's midsection. Functional, if not attractive, the derrick possessed the capability of lowering a variety of scientific packages through the hull to the seafloor, or of raising heavy objects such as salvage debris straight into the ship's bowels. The Ocean Venturer was the perfect vessel to act as a work platform for the treaty search. Pitt stood on the stern, clutching a Portuguese fisherman's cap tightly to his head as the blades of a Numa helicopter whipped the air around him. For a few moments, the pilot hovered while he tested the wind currents. Then he dropped the chopper slowly until the skids settled firmly on the painted markings of the flight pad. Pitt hunched over, jogged up to the craft, and opened the door. Heidi Milligan, dressed in a jumpsuit of cotton painter's cloth in dazzling azure blue, hopped out. Pitt helped her down and took a suitcase that was passed to him by the pilot. "On your next taxi run," Pitt yelled above the whine of the turbines, "bring us a case of peanut butter." The pilot waved a casual salute and shouted back, "Shall do." Pitt escorted Heidi across the deck as the helicopter lifted from the pad and dipped its nose toward the south. She turned to him and smiled. "Does the project director always double as baggage porter?" "Like the man said," Pitt laughed, "I get no respect." Several minutes after he showed her to her quarters, she entered the dining salon carrying a packet of papers and sat down beside him. "How was your trip?" "Productive," she replied. "How's your end?" "We arrived on site yesterday afternoon, 18 hours ahead of schedule, and positioned the Ocean Venturer above the wreck." "What's your next move?" "A small unmanned remote sub with cameras will be lowered to survey the Empress. The video data it relays to our monitors will be studied and analyzed." "What angle does the ship lie?"
45 degrees to starboard."
Heidi frowned. "Lousy luck."
"Why?"
She began to spread the papers over the table. Some were quite large and had to be unfolded. "Before I answer that, here's a copy of the passenger list from the Empress on its final sailing. At first I thought I hit a dead end when I couldn't find Harvey Shield's name among the first-class passengers. Then it occurred to me that he might have traveled in a lower class to avoid advertising his presence. Most transatlantic liners provided plush accommodations on second-class decks for wealthy but frugal eccentrics or high-level government officials who wanted to cross the oceans in low profile. That's where I found him. Upper Deck D, Cabin 46.
"Nice work.
You put a fix on the needle in the haystack. Now we don't have to tear the whole ship apart." "That's the good news," said Heidi. "Now the bad news."
"Let's have it."
"The Storstad, the Norwegian coal collier that sank the Empress, struck the liner starboard amidships, almost directly between the funnels, gouging a wedge-shaped hole over 15 feet wide and nearly 50 feet in height. The collier's bow sliced into the boiler rooms below the waterline with a section of the second-class accommodation straight above."
"You're suggesting that the Storstad obliterated Shield's cabin?"
"We have to consider the worst possibility." Heidi spread a copy of the Empress of Ireland's plans over the charts. She pointed a pencil tip at a small circled area. "Number 46 was an outside starboard cabin. It was either damned close or directly in the middle of the impact point."
"That could explain why Shield's body was never found."
"He was probably crushed to death in his sleep."
What did you mean by lousy luck when I gave you the wreck's angle? A 45-degree list to starboard would put cabin 46 in the riverbed, Heidi replied. The interior must be buried in silt. Back to square one. The silt would preserve the treaty's covering, but make it almost impossible to find. Heidi sat silently watching Pitt as he slowly tapped his fingers on the table, his mind rummaging through the data laid before him. His deep green eyes took on a faraway look. She reached over and touched his hand. "What are you thinking about?" "The Empress of Ireland," Pitt said quietly. "It's the ship the world forgot. A tomb of 1,000 souls. God only knows what we'll find when we get inside her."